Defender. You know, we don't have a public defender. We've got a defender that defends Christians. He's there for those that love him. Why? Because Christ is our defender. And if you're a Christ man, meaning Christian, God's going to defend you. He's your advocate. He's right there by the right hand of God. And when you hurt, guess what? He hurts. And especially, that is, if you're hurting for His service, if you're hurting trying to do His work, His will, to follow Him. And in this troubled world, where people are confused and things, you know, especially in an election year, you know, this one blames that one and so forth, and it's all politics, 90% of it. But in this particular case, it's kind of sad in a way, because when certain people say we need to be out of there, it's causing more body bags. Okay, now that's terrible. And as an old military person, it hurts me deeply when I see that. But anyway, we do have a defender. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the first epistle of John. That's the little epistles right before the great book of Revelation, book of Jude and then Revelation. And the first epistle of John, the teachings of John stronger emphasize the defender more so than anyone else. That's in St. John as well as the epistles. But let's get with it and let's understand his emotions. In chapter 1 and verse 1, and it reads, this is the epistle, first epistle of John, that which was from the beginning, it's always been this way, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He said, I can be a good witness. Do you know why? I've seen it with my own eyes, I can promise you. Which we have looked upon, we observed it, we watched, and our hands have handled, we touched Him, we embraced Him of the Word of Life. What a tender verse to really get to understanding of, I can witness to you because I walked with Him, I embraced Him, I heard Him, and that Word is true. Verse 2, for the life was manifest, in other words, Christ was there, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, made known, walked with Him. What have we got to say? Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also, you what? Ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, we are one family. And that is the tenderness of God, that He reaches out to touch you, to guide you. Hey, He's real, my friends. And miracles happen. The miracle was just shared with me, and I'm not at liberty to share it with the whole family, but, I mean, healings still take place when a person calls. Perfectly. Okay. Our Father is real, and He's in charge. Skip on down to the 9th verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing He loves better than if you messed up. That's what He paid the price for. Not because He doesn't love you, but because He does love you. that when you ask for forgiveness and you mean it from your heart, it is granted. It is done. Just like that. What a Father we have. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We, in these flesh bodies, fall short at times. We just do. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. We overeat, and there's so many things that we can fall out of God's will, not in a sense, and because the flesh will demand certain things, talk to you, whisper in your ear, you know, and so forth, and you will fall short at times. Repent of it, just like that. It's gone. It's done. But why? He loves you. And that's why He's done it. Chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. That's a protector, a comforter, a defender with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I mean, He's sitting right at the right hand of God. Think about that a moment. This John touched Him, walked with Him, heard Him. And this was His promise. That He, you know, an advocate is a lawyer. He'll tell you, you can't have a better lawyer than Jesus Christ. He can control emotions. He can change minds. He's in charge. But the main thing is, when you think of the kinship, that is to say that He loves you. And He wants you to have the best, especially when you're serving Him and helping Him, doing His bidding, His work. He just reaches down and blesses you all to pieces, in a good way, of course. You know, because and let me tell you something. I truly believe He stands the gap as well. I think He sees when we're about to get in trouble and we don't even know it. And that He's there to fill the gap. To maybe say, go, nudge you, go that way, not that way. Did I point left? Go that way, not that way. Okay. On television it reverses, you know, so that's for everybody. Always fish out of the right side of the boat, that's what He said, okay? But we have that comforter there. And do you know something? Sometimes we kind of feel unimportant, and I'm not talking about self-importance that we get to be a goody-goody two-shoes. I'm talking about sometimes we don't realize that God loves us because He's kin, because we're His folks. And you forget that He made you unique. You know something? He doesn't have anybody else like you. You're the only person that has the DNA He created with you in it, on it, or it in you, I'll say more correctly, okay? There's nobody else like you. And that's why He wants that you should love Him, that you should depend on Him. You know, He's a mighty arm. And when you're walking the paths of this troubled world, you need that mighty arm there, your defender, He that protects you, and He certainly will. Verse 2, and He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, He that was good enough for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, that is to say, those that are repented for. And hereby we do know that we know Him. That know means feel and understand. If we keep His commandments, that's the condition. That old if is a big word, you know. See, that's why we do sin. We let that if get away with us every once in a while. And we doing something through ignorance of not being familiar with the commandments is one thing, but disobeying them when you know better, that's something else. If we keep His commandments, for he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And what is truth? Well, what's the spirit of truth? The spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. The spirit of truth is what? We've been talking about it. His Word. The Word of God. And you will have these characters that will pick up junk or other writings of men not backed by the Word of God and preach it. That's sad. And would they expect God to bless them for that? I hope not. You've got to keep John Brown, I better not say that. Joe Doe, okay? Does God say you should keep his commandments? No. You should keep my commandments if you want my blessings. Sorry, friend, that's exactly the way it is, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. The biggest mistake made by man, that tries to teach, is they forget about the little ones.
Oh, we're gonna have a deep study. We're gonna go way past the gate.
Oh, you are. Do you know what happens when you get so silly out in left field that the little ones won't even listen to you? They think you're a fruitcake. And when you cut off the supply of the tender ears hearing you, you're done. You have no growth. You're worthless. You've got to remember the little ones. You've got to teach in the simplicity in which Christ taught, so that tender ears hear and know truth, truth being the spirit of truth, God's Word, and His influence. This is not to say anything at all against a deeper understanding of God's Word, but you must obey His commandments, not some man's, not this man or any other man, okay? Don't ever listen to a liar. You can't. You know why? You can't count on him. Well, how would I know it was a lie? If it goes contrary to God's Word, it's a lie. Okay? But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Can you absorb that? If you want God's love in your life, you better remember that verse. It's essential. His Word, not somebody else's. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. As best we can, that's the example. It's like, how many times have you heard me say, somebody will say, well, should I be baptized? Well, Christ was. Are you better than Christ? I mean, he set the example. Well, how was he baptized? Well, the word baptized means to submerge. It's like, it comes from the etymology of dyeing a piece of cloth. Like if you want a white piece of cloth dyed red, and you've got a bucket of red dye there, what do you have to do? I don't think I have to say. Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. And of course, the new commandment, the New Testament, is simply a repeat or the finishing of the old. There's nothing new about it. That's why you must preserve the Old Testament. You must hang on to it. Turn with me let's go back to the epistle, St. John, the Gospel. And let's go to chapter 16. Jesus prepared us as best he could to know that he wanted to be in you if you love him. And he wanted you to be in him. That's family. He wanted to be your kinsman redeemer. Do you know what a kinsman redeemer is? That's someone that's close enough of kin to you that they can claim you and save you from the fires of hell or from trouble in this world. That's why he's your advocate, he's your defender, is to save you from the troubles of the world. He said this over and over. Okay, let's go with chapter 16, St. John, let's start with 7, just to be done, okay? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that your defender, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will... Did it say maybe? No, I will send him unto you. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. The Comforter would come. And when he is come, he will reprove, convince the world of sin. If something's a sin, he will give you the unction. You'll know it. Period. And of righteousness and of judgment. That unction that he touches you with, being in you, is very strong. 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Some don't. Okay. 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. But he goes for what? To be our defender. That's important that you know that. You know, many of them wept bitterly, and Peter even at one time drew a sword and lobbed the ear off of an attendant to the chief priest. They didn't want it to happen, but it provided salvation for all of us if we believe. So many times when things appear to be bad, it's God working, and it's going to be good. Verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, and he's going to be. Satan is judged. He's judged already. There's only one that's already judged to hell, and that is Satan. Well, is he dead? No, he isn't. He's still very alive and well. And he's fulfilling his obligations. Well, what are they? Well, we're going to talk about it in a little bit. Something that people let their guard down about, because they're so happy about the Comforter, and they should be. But sometimes you forget, you get so carried away, you forget things. And the next thing you know, somebody's already busted in your back door and taken you over, because you went to sleep. Well, I have the Comforter. It takes all of God's Word. You've got the Comforter, and He loves you very much. And he's with you. But there are, you know, I drove an old timber wolf off from my backyard this morning. There's wolves out there waiting, okay? My little old cotton white-tailed deer, just, boy, those tails went up and they scooted, and I looked out and there that character was. Boy, if I didn't put him on the move. I mean, that actually happened about an hour ago. Right? Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, that's the trouble with most little old tender ears. When you give them the whole truth, sometimes it kind of overloads their donkey a little bit. There's things he said, I've got to tell you. Do you know who he's going to allow to do it? Unction through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the bringing the truth out concerning prophecies of the end times from not man's word, God's Word. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, underline that in your mind, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Do you know why he won't speak of himself? Because it's the Spirit of God and the Savior, the Spirit of truth, and it is this Word. He will never give you unction of anything that isn't written. That's a promise. Don't ask me where it's from. It's a promise. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. things to come more. That's prophecy, understanding it, clarifying it, making it in the simplicity of Christ's teachings whereby anyone can understand. He shall glorify me. He's going to do what? Now this is important. A lot of people think it's to glorify themselves. Have you ever heard somebody say, I've really got the Spirit. I've got the Spirit. Or the Spirit's got you. Which is it? And what's the Spirit? The Spirit of truth will always align with God's Word. He shall glorify me. That's to say, Christ Himself, Emmanuel, God with us. For He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's the way He operates. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. That Word, that truth, that Spirit of truth. You know, you got to work at it. You have this teaching around. I was just sitting there daydreaming and bam! It all came to me. Well, I wish I could be that fortunate. You know, God really blesses me, but I have to work at it. And then sometimes He will bang! I mean, the whole thing just clears up to where I can even understand it with teachability. It's a big difference in understanding something and being able to teach it, okay? 16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Emmanuel, God with us, naturally, He went back where He came from. He sat down at the right hand of God, and God blessed him. God blessed him indeed. You know, there's another side when He said the prince of this world. I want you to remember old Job a minute. I wonder if any of us know a person that is as righteous as Job was. I'm going to tell you what, he was indeed a good old boy. I mean, he had done nothing to offend God. God had blessed him, I mean, with children, with land. But here comes Satan with the other angels before God. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Don't turn there. I'm just trust me and make a note and check it out later if you wish. And God said to Satan, what do you think about my boy Job? I mean, he never messed up, hardly ever. Everything worked good for him. Why? Because he listened to God. And Satan said, oh, shoot. If you would take down your wall of protection around him, I could have him eaten out of my hand in just a little bit. I'm paraphrasing some of this in Murray way, okay? But that's basically what it meant. And God said, I don't think you can. I trust my boy. He's good. He's righteous. I don't think you could trick him. And Satan says, just let me at him. But boy, I'm telling you, God did. He took away the blessings and he allowed Satan to work through the Job's enemies and his own family. And I mean, pretty soon Job has lost everything he owns, practically. I mean, lost his children. And I mean, he's sitting out here and he's got boils all over his body. He's one miserable looking character. He's hurting. And his wife even told him, why don't you just give up and die? You know, I mean, it was hurting her to look at him. But Job held on. He said, I haven't done anything. And then he called three of his friends. They were not students of God's Word. They were ratchet jaws, okay? And they helped him out for 38 chapters of Job. We know you've sinned. Now be honest and come on and spill the beans. We'll take the worst first, thank you. Job said, I'm innocent. I haven't done anything. And finally, it's a strange thing. I had a question just a couple, 3 days ago. So why did God punish Job the way he did? Do you think God punished Job? I hope you don't. It was Satan. And finally, Job woke up to the fact that it was Satan tempting him, and he began to listen to God, and God gave back everything he had. Well, are you better than Job? If you're one of God's elect, you're in the book of life. Do you know who else's book you're in? You ever thought about that? Satan's got enemies. And oh, does he watch his enemies. Just like he said to God about Job. Look at that. Look at there. Ooh, I wish you'd just look. There's your little blessed one. You know what one of Satan's name is? His accuser. Do you know where Satan is? He's in heaven. Just where our defender is. Same location, basically. And where the defender is defending you, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Let's document this. This is something sometimes we let slide, and you can't afford to do that. You would be amiss if you were not familiar with, don't turn there, just listen to me a moment, Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, where John was taken to the Lord's day. Do you know how long a day is with the Lord? 1,000 years. Which means what? The millennium. And everything that's given in the book of Revelation was given to John on the Lord's day. Now, if you don't get that straight in your mind, you'll never be able to understand the book of Revelation. So John was looking forward to this, a chapter that covers a longer period of time, back in the first earth age, all the way through this one, and right up to the end. But it's just before Satan is cast out onto this earth for a short season, just before the true Messiah returns. Chapter 12, you've read it 1,000 times, but it's good for you to get back and understand it again. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. This is the fallen angels, and this is the old Satan himself. And prevailed not. He couldn't win. Neither was there place found any more in heaven. Whoa, now if there's not place found anymore for him in heaven, guess where he's going? Earth. Okay, let's read it. And the great dragon, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. When was this? On the Lord's day, just before. That old serpent, the same one that was in the garden, seduced Eve, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. How much? Deceiveth the whole world. He hasn't got you deceived, has he? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. He is our power, our defender. For the accuser, don't read over that. The accuser of our brethren. What's our brethren? Our little buddies down there working for the Lord. Okay. Accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Look at there, God, what they're doing. You think those are your pretties. Just did you see what old so-and-so just did? So you see, you've got somebody in heaven besides a defender. You have an accuser. And you've got to be aware of that. Why?
Well, I'm not afraid of him, and he knows better than to come around me. But what about your best friend? What about if he starts whittling on him? And he says to your best friend, "Do you know what he said about you?" You know what an agitator is in a washing machine? Okay. If he can't get you, he goes to your... He's smart. And this is why sometimes you have to forgive a friend because they're ignorant and don't know any better. But Satan will use people to get his elect, get to them. Don't let it. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. The accuser can't hurt you. All he can do is yakety, yakety, yakety. If you're righteous like Job, you don't have to worry about it. You just keep plowing and getting God's word done and receiving his blessings over and over and over and growing and growing and growing because you know how to handle the accuser. As it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Christ said, "I beheld Satan fall as a star from heaven, and I give you power over him." He didn't say him, but he said, "All of your enemies, I hope he's your enemy." So you don't have anything to worry about. We have a defender that helps us accomplish that. But don't you ever let your guard down thinking you don't have an accuser. And every time you mess up, don't worry, it was reported. If you're one of God's elect, he's got his eyeballs right on you, friend. I mean, the binoculars are shining. Because, you know, most of the world he's got deceived. I mean, they're just eating out of his hand. "Pretty little baby, just go ahead and do whatever you want, all right. Everything by and by is going to be fine. Just keep that." But he's got enemies, and those enemies are those that follow the commandments of God. And if he can mess up your playhouse, it's because you let him. You put up with it. You've got to learn how to nip stuff in the bud. Nippity, nippity, nippity. You don't have to put up with it. Life's too short for that. The accuser can accuse all he wants to. If it isn't truth, it's a lie. You don't have to worry. So, it's good to have an equal balance if you want to be a happy person in these little flesh bodies. Because there's one side to it. That the accuser is there, my friend. And he'll, you don't understand, brother. I live a perfect life. I don't have to worry about it. He'll dig stuff up on you you never thought of. And he'll have your friends that get a moment off track, and he'll say, "Do you know what he did to you or said about you? He said you were no good." Well, I'll show him. I'll show him a thing or two. Here I'm his best friend, and he talks about me. No, he didn't talk that way. The accuser did. Okay. So be intelligent and be mature. Be mature. If you didn't hear it out of your friend's mouth, then probably you want to be very careful because friend, you know, I'm going to tell you something. There are not very many friends in this world. Did you know that? You will not meet too many people in your lifetime that you can hang it all on. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is, okay? I don't know if it's because of compatibility. That enters into it, plus many other things. And I'm not saying there's not very many good people. There's a lot of good people. But a friend is just most valuable. I mean, you can be with them, you can talk to them, and you don't have to worry about it being on the internet the next day. You know? It's solid. It's a friend that's part of your heart and your mind. I'm sidetracking myself a little bit. Be that as it may, bear with me. I'll get back on track here. You've got to watch the accuser. We have the defender in heaven, and boy, that is fantastic. He,
As long as you keep His commandments, He will protect you. But don't you let His commandments drop and you allow yourself to be sidetracked and let the accuser dream something up. Not maybe with you. You can't tell what Satan might use. It may be a store clerk that's had a hard day and they dress you down good and it just ruins your day. Forgive them. Okay? But maybe they needed that. You're big. You're a child of God. You can take it. Okay? That doesn't mean you got to put up with it. I mean, one time, that's on me. Two times, I might punch you. I mean, can-do type people, all right? You understand what I mean by that. But always take into account that accuser is watching you. I don't want anybody to have bad dreams tonight or anything like that. You've got the comforter, the defender. Everything is well. Just don't let your guard down, okay? Now, let's go back, if we may, to the book of John. And we're going to take... we were in chapter 16. Let's go to chapter 15. As much as we're here in 15, I cannot resist because I feel led to show how close you are to Christ, to show how close you work with Almighty God. I'm going to cover just a few verses at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, do you know what that means? I am the plant, and my Father is the one that has the big snippers, the pruners, okay? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Snip. Okay? And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, now that doesn't sound hardly fair. It says every branch, even if it produces fruit, He's going to prune it. Well, that's good. That's good. Father chastises and keeps in mind those He loves. Don't you understand? When it's Father chastising you, that's something to be thankful for. When it's Satan, you better watch out. Okay? God, what's the subject here? Producing fruit. Okay? Well, what kind of fruit? Well, if Christ is the vine, what would be the fruit? Okay? That kind of fruit. Now, verse 3. Now, ye are clean, or pruned, through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, the word of God will prune you right down. You know, if you ever get off track a little bit, the word, the spirit of truth and the word of God will prune you. It'll pull you in. Well, I really thought we were supposed to... Well, read it. It says you can't. Period. That's it. Okay? The Word keeps you in line. Okay? Verse 4. Abide in me. That's meno in the Greek. It means mansion with me. Live with me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. You really need to think about that. With the accuser up there on your case, if you're not plugged into the vine, you're in trouble. You can't do, you know, you can say, Satan, get out of my life. Now, he's going to laugh at you. He's going to say, who are you? You'll say, well, Pastor Murray said God gave me power over all my enemies in Jesus' name. When you tell Satan to get out of your life in the name of Jesus, he's gone. Okay. You got to do it right. You got to be in the vine, in the branch. Don't be forgetful. The accuser's watching you. I feel I'm overdoing this in a way, and I'm going to make people uncomfortable because the Redeemer is so blessed. The Advocate is so good. But God wants you to be smart, just like He wanted Job to be, okay? He wants you to be aware of what's going on around you spiritually, because you can't see the spirits move, but you can sure feel them. Don't let them take you, and don't let the accuser. Verse 6, if a man abide, that's live, not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it's withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Worthless. You've got to have Christ, your family. And you've got to realize that. And without family, you do wither. Now, skip on down to verse 20. That's why we came here. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. What he's preparing people for here, even though you have an advocate, even though you have a defender, hey, they treated him awful. Do you think they're going to love you because you're prettier? When you go around teaching the same thing, they're going to goose you. All right? Maybe that's not a proper term, but if they get a chance, the accuser's going to just set you on fire. Don't let him have that leverage. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They're not really with God. Okay? Play actors. Play in church. If I had not come and spoken unto them, this means even the Kenites, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. It's laid out bare. There's no excuse. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. That's just the way it is. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, why? They couldn't. Healing, raising from the dead. They had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. That puts them in a real bad light. But this cometh to pass that the world might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Psalms 35, verse 19, verse 26. But when the Comforter, that's our defender, is come, whom I will send unto you, no ifs, ands, or maybes, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He'll let you know this was real. And you know something? When he performs healings and answers prayers even today and touches you, you know he's real. You know he's there with you. You know your defender always wins over the adversary. 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Well, how long is that from the beginning? Well, when were you chosen? And that's a different subject for a different time. God's elect were with him from the beginning. God would say to Jeremiah, I chose you before you were ever in your mother's womb. And while you were in your mother's womb, I appointed you a prophet. So God chooses whomever he wishes, whenever, when he knows they can cut it. That's what makes the difference. Can you cut it? Okay? God loves people that can absorb the word, but he loves doers also. You know, more so. Okay, in conclusion, chapter 14 of this same great book of John, where Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare. There's a lot of mansions in my, it means resting places, and your rest is always in Christ, and you can move in. You can move in today, if you're not already there, into his house. Let's pick it up with verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, a defender, that he may abide with you forever. How long? Never going to leave us. Well, what is this comforter? The Spirit of Truth. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You got him living with you. That's what he wants. The Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit. The Spirit of the Father and the Son. They want you. Why? They love you. They think you're worth it, friend. That's why don't let the accuser bite you on the heels, all right? Goose him. Get rid of him. You know how, in the name of Jesus. 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It almost hurts me when somebody writes a letter to me and says, I'm all alone. Everybody's left me. Nobody cares. Oh, God does. Our Father does. The Holy Spirit cares a great deal. You're his child. Don't ever forget it. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Do you feel him? Does he touch you? Does he lead you? Of course he does. He does through the Word. You have unction from it. All that day, at that day, rather, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's family, friend. What a family to be in, and you're part of it. He loves you for that. I sure love you for it. I really do, because you love his word. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will, when you do Father's work, he will manifest himself in it. That means he's going to prosper it. It's going to grow. It's going to touch people. Because it's real. Because it has the Spirit of Truth. And that truth lifts people, blesses people, whereby people accomplish. Let's skip on to verse 26 to complete the lecture. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Did you know they were in your mind already? Have you ever wondered why when you hear a real truth, you say, oh, wow, that really makes sense. It seems like I already knew that. Well, when did God choose you? In the beginning? Okay. Whatsoever I have said unto you, he brings it. The word will come to life in your life. And that was old Job. Boy, you'll never find a better example of what you better be on guard for in this generation especially. Why? Well, it's not going to be long until Satan will be cast out de facto upon this earth. And always remember, the whole book of Revelations, John was taken to the Lord's day. That's why Revelation is so true. He was watching it happen. You know, he was being shown the vision of it happening. And there was that accuser. Let me ask you something. How often did he turn in a complaint? Night and day. Day and night. The accuser was right there with our Father, turning in complaints against sinners, and maybe even making stuff up at times. Did God know the difference? You bet. But the point is, rejoice and praise God that he has sent that Comforter. But don't ever forget what's off to the side and what will use your own family if he has to, or anyone else he can, against you to destroy or to upset your life. Don't you let it happen. Don't you ever let it happen. Why? You're a child of God. And he loves you. Do you know something else? He can get along without you, but he doesn't want to. He wants you to serve Him. Don't forget it. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Father, thank You for that defender in this, especially this precious time. And Father, we understand the accuser. And we know that we fall short at times, and we just ask that You still love us and give us strength and help us, Father, to overcome that we should, Father, do it. And we ask and give You advance thanks, Father, in the precious name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
First of all, Satan has a full 5 month period. It was shortened to that from 7 years. I'll say it again. It was shortened from 7 years, as listed in the book of Daniel, to a 5 month period listed in the 9th chapter of Revelation. God likens that whole 5 month period as the hour of temptation. So therefore it is called 1 hour, as it is written in Revelation chapter 17, along about verse 12 or 13. Okay? 1 hour. Now, naturally, inasmuch as God split this, don't let this confuse you now, stay with me, split the 7 year period into 2 3.5 year periods, He likewise splits the 1 hour period into 2 half hours. Which, if we want to be real crusty about it, and wise is what I'm saying, it would mean the 5 month period was split in half. It means that heaven, as it is written in the 8th chapter of Revelation, rejoices for a half hour because it's peaceful. Why? Satan's kicked out. Now what happens to the other half hour? People on earth are going to catch it if they're deceived, all right? Period. They're going to get it. Big time. They're going to get a Messiah that they're not accustomed to. He'll be a dandy. Joe from Missouri. We saw, let's say, we take your program, we have a question. We saw in Exodus 20, verse 5, where the sins of the father are carried on to several generations. Is this not true? And then, why, if it's not true, why is it there? Well, you know, I want you to learn to read. And I'm not saying that to insult you, but you must absorb what you read. I want you to go back and I want you to read that fifth verse of Exodus 20 all over again. And I want you to notice that it says that God will hold it against that particular generation for 4 or 5 generations, and it completes the sentence with, for those who hate Him. It wouldn't matter if it was 100 generations, it would continue on for those who hate Him. Okay, you got to, you know, it is such a simple thing. And I'm not saying this to criticize you or to insult you, but you got to pay attention to what you read. God doesn't mess around, and He doesn't have words to waste. He means what He says, and He says what He means. So go back and read it again, and you won't have any problem with it. You're sharp. You've been with us a long time. You keep studying. I'm proud of you. Okay, Dale from Georgia. I've studied with you for about 2.5 years, and I've learned many things that were confusing to me before, but aren't now. Well, that's great. The Word does that. Please help me with one question. This question. You teach that all souls go immediately to the Father at death, and I agree from the verses you have led me to, but in John 5:28, Jesus says, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. This is the fifth chapter of St. John. Christ was about to be crucified. And when through crucifixion, he was going to defeat death. It was a hard step to get people to believe a man could defeat death, especially that man, Messiah. So he showed a few personal miracles, whereby they were visual lessons that the local people would know he had defeated death. What better way to have a visual teaching that would prove to the locals, who were not all that well educated, quite frankly, most, that he had defeated death, other than to have the graves appear to open? And as you've probably heard me say, the old baker died 2 weeks ago. He'd been down there on that corner for all of his life, baking donuts, bagels. And everybody knew him. And I mean, there he was. He looked good. I mean, looking fantastic. Got it made. Defeated death. Who's going to argue with that? All of them came from that cemetery. It was to let people know that he was Messiah. He had defeated death. It was a one-time thing. Nobody is in any grave other than the flesh, and it's going back to dirt. All right, that's what it meant. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot because you enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth, but I'm telling you what's most important. God loves you for it. Do you understand that you make our Father's day when you read his letter, this letter that he's written to you, explaining and assuring you of your salvation and how he wants to take care of you? He really does, and it makes his day when you take a few minutes and study. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Most important, though, hey, you stay in his Word every day. And as I said, set aside just a little bit of time, whatever you can afford, to study that Word. Every day in it, even with trouble, is a good day. You know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible.